I'll find him, brother. If I can see. Do appreciate the sweet prayer that's been offered already, and ask each of you just to continue to pray for me as I stand before you tonight. Thoughts are somewhat scattered, and yet I'm very thankful that I do have some thoughts of how good and wonderful the Lord is. And you just pray that the Lord would bless us to be able to share tonight what I trust He's laid on our hearts, and that we might feed from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the Old Testament book of Daniel tonight. I'm going to read in your hearing the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, a very familiar passage that deals with the prophet Daniel, the brother Daniel, as he labored and followed his Lord amidst very difficult and hard circumstances of life. Daniel was one of the children of Israel, one of the captivity of Judah that was taken away and was for a period of years under the captive under a Babylonian kingdom, and here under this, in this particular passage, under the Medes and Persians. And in all of those situations where Daniel was, whether it was under Nebuchadnezzar or whether it was under Nebuchadnezzar's grandson Belshazzar, or whether it was under Darius, Daniel always, as well as some of the others of the Lord's people in those circumstances who followed the Lord, always came through those difficult times in a wonderful and a blessed way. The Lord kept Daniel. The Lord watched over and supplied to Daniel what he needed, even in the most difficult times. And we have that on record in the Bible. And I believe it's a great comfort to us when we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we remember how they stood faithful when the king said bow. They would not bow. And they would not. They were willing to go into the midst of a fiery furnace, knowing that God was more than able to deliver them from a fiery furnace. If it was His will, He was able to do that. And also understanding that if they burned up in that fiery furnace, that it was God who was going to deliver them one way or the other. He would either deliver them from that fiery furnace, or He would deliver them from the fire itself, as He did. Even the smell of smoke was not even upon them. Or He was able by His power, if they died, there to leave this old world, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which was far better. And either way, He was going to deliver them from the hand of the king. And they said that, "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us from thy hand, O king. And if it's His will, He can deliver us from this fire furnace. But if it's not His will to deliver us from the fire furnace, He still will deliver us." And today we believe in a God who has delivered, who is delivering, and who will yet deliver His people. And this is certainly the case here in the life of Daniel. And Daniel here, this is about Daniel in the lion's den. And we'll begin reading right in verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." And as we read those first three verses, we see that under the Medes and Persians, King Darius, the Median, he had 120 princes that he put in positions of authority over the whole kingdom. That's his political organization. And over those, he had three presidents. And of those three presidents, Daniel was preferred above all of them. He was the first. And that the princes give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Now, the reason Daniel was put in that position is because in Daniel there was an excellent spirit. Now let's not even think that Daniel had that excellent spirit because of his bloodline. Let's not think for a moment that Daniel had an excellent spirit because of his mama or his daddy or his grandparents or anything else. Let us remember when we talk about Daniel, when we talk about Moses, when we talk about Elijah, when we talk about Elisha, when we talk about Jeremiah, when we talk about all of those Old Testament characters, when we talk about all those that were mentioned in Hebrews 11 and that wonderful chapter on faith and those who by faith did amazing and wonderful things, let us remember that all of them fell into that same category of those who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and left to themselves there would have been absolutely none good, no, not one. They were as much the children of wrath, even as others, as anyone else. And yet, we saw something different about Daniel, didn't we? We saw that very early on when Daniel was carried into captivity. He wouldn't go along with everything that was going on. He was committed to do what the Lord would have him to do. And he wouldn't even eat the best of the food and all of the king's meat. He said, just give me pulse to eat and give us pulse to eat. And the reason for that is they didn't want anything to do. They wanted to separate themselves from all of that. And they knew that there was something better for them, a better way for them to live, a better way for them to act, a better way for them to behave as the children of the Lord and followers of the Lord. They knew that my life isn't about doing what the world would have me to do, but doing what the Lord would have me to do. Now, none of this made them the Lord's, but it certainly was a blessing to them. And because of that, they were a blessing to others. Daniel was a blessing to those even who had him there in captivity, because when people didn't know what to do, they would often seek all of the astrologers and the magicians and all of the soothsayers and all of those that had the ability supposedly to have all the wisdom, but there was none like Daniel. And you know why? Because there was in Daniel an excellent spirit. Now, where did that come from? I believe that spirit was the spirit of Almighty God that the Lord had given to Daniel. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit was operating in the Old Testament. I believe the Holy Spirit was moving in the Old Testament. No, we didn't have the Holy Spirit in the way, in the same fullness that they did, that we do now. They didn't have it in the Old Testament like we do now, in the sense of since Pentecost had come and we have the operation of the Holy Spirit now individually with each and every one, but we see the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we believe that every little child of God, every one of His elect, every one that He foreknew before the very foundation of the world, is called of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and given life. And that was not only New Testament saints, but also Old Testament saints. Every one of them, ye must be born again. Every one of them has had to have a new birth experience to be born of the Spirit of God. And Daniel showed the evidence of that. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. In other words, the king said, that Daniel's a special fellow. Something's different about Daniel. Daniel's honest. Daniel has integrity. Daniel does what he says, and says when he says something, he means it, and then he does it and he carries it out. Daniel is someone who can be trusted. Daniel is not going to be someone who steals from me. Daniel is not going to be someone who bends to the will of other people, but Daniel is one, as the king looked at him, that I can trust, and because I can trust him so much that I think he ought to really be above all of them. And you know how those others that were born and bred into the bloodline of the Medes, how they must have felt that this old captive of Judah was going to be, this one who wasn't even one of us, is going to be put in charge. And right away, what happens? Jealousy pops in the picture. It says, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. In other words, this Daniel He's going to be put in charge, and he's going to have authority over us, and we don't want him having authority over us. This old jealousy thing is not new. It didn't just happen yesterday. It didn't just happen with us and allies. You can read down through the history of the scripture, and you can see where envy and jealousy has caused so much heartache in this old world. When somebody has something, somebody else wants it. When somebody gets a position, somebody feels like, I should have got that. And if you're not careful, by our very nature, we'll look around us and see somebody get a promotion. And next thing you know, I think I should have got that promotion rather than they did. Or somebody gets some salary increase, or we find out what... One of the worst things you can do is really find out what other people are making. Because the next thing you know, you might be satisfied with what you have until you hear somebody's got a little more. And what's our old human nature says? I work just as hard as they do. I ought to get as much as they have. And we forget altogether how good the Lord has been to me. How good the Lord has been to us. Listen, we've got something to say along with Daniel today. That's what's written in the very first verse of the 23rd chapter of the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And brethren, if you and I can understand what it means to have the Lord as your shepherd. Who is your shepherd? The Lord. Who is the Lord? The one who created the heavens and the earth. Who is the Lord? The one who knows exactly what you need tonight and what you'll need tomorrow and what you'll need the rest of your life. Who is the Lord? The one who loved you enough that he gave his very life for you as one of his sheep. The one who made you, the one who created you, the one who's going to keep you, the one who one day is going to carry you out of this old troubled world, which is always going to be hills and valleys, high times and low times. Sometimes the car is going to run good and sometimes it's going to stop. Sometimes things will be going well and other times you'll have rough times. Here Daniel was in the midst of captivity, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the problem. But Daniel was at peace because Daniel remained faithful to his God. Now, by the way, he couldn't have remained faithful if he didn't have faith. And if he has faith, it had to come from God. So we're not patting Daniel on the back tonight. We're not Danielites. Aren't you glad of that? If we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have never been a Daniel, a Moses, Elijah, Elias. There would never be any good man, good woman, good boy, good girl. There would never be anyone with an excellent spirit. But because of the Lord, you are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he who has made you, not we ourselves. So let us rejoice and come before his presence with gladness and singing. And let us be content with such as we have. And knowing this, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And what is it going to profit me if I gain the whole world and I miss and lose out on my own soul, lose out on my own life, lose out on the joy and the peace and the rest that I can have in the Lord Jesus Christ simply by trusting him as Daniel did. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents. The reason, I don't know whether it was a spiritual tie here, kind of feel like it was as I read the rest, haven't got to it, hope I get to it, read the rest of the passage, you kind of feel that there might have been a spiritual tie between the king and Daniel. I know there was an appreciation of Daniel by the king, and the king got himself in a real mess here because he allowed men to trick him and twist him, just like the old devil sometimes comes and twists us, and sometimes men twist us, and sometimes we compromise, and when we compromise, we miss out on a whole lot of things in this old world. And we have a lot of regrets. And thanks be to God, though, God is bigger than all of the things we might face and all of the troubles that we might face in this world. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, and then the presidents and the princes, the 120 princes and the other two presidents sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. And if that doesn't remind you of the politics of today, what does? Somebody rises up and everybody goes digging, trying to find all the dirt they can. And if they can't find any, they'll make some up. And if they can't make some up, they'll keep digging and keep looking and keep digging. And in most cases, all of us, we know this. Listen, Daniel was no different than the rest of us. It was just in this instant and in this circumstances when it came down to Daniel's relationship with the king. when it came down to how he acted in the position that he was put, Daniel had acted honorable in the life to the point that when they looked to find all that was wrong with Daniel, they couldn't find a thing. And believe me, they searched. They sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Well, what a testimony. Now, why would Daniel have such a testimony? Was it because Daniel was such a good little boy? No. I'll tell you, Daniel was a good boy, and he was a good man. You know why? Because God had worked in him. We work out our salvation, but it's God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Daniel was one who had worked out his salvation with fear and trembling. He had trusted and depended upon the Lord, and he had left his case in the hands of the Lord, and that had been his commitment of how he was going to conduct his life. And Daniel was like that when he was under Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar rose and got so high and mighty, what happened? He got knocked down, and Daniel remained faithful to the Lord, and the Lord took care of Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was all that. And then when Nebuchadnezzar left and his grandson came and forgot about Daniel and who he was, and he got lifted up, Daniel was the one who was able to interpret that dream that said, your kingdom is taken from you. Why? Because you have forgotten what happened to your grandfather and you didn't learn that lesson, and now you've become all puffed up and took things that were belonging only to the Lord and his service and just drank out of them and made mockery of those things. Listen, you can count on this. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow in the Spirit, of the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And now we can't do anything without the Lord. And that's how Daniel was able to do what he did. It says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as his why? As he was faithful. He was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now this didn't mean that Daniel was without any sin. We know that Daniel fit under the same as anyone else. He was among those who had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as far as his response and his communication with the king, he had been without any error or fault. None was found in him. And the reason for that is Daniel was faithful. You know, I believe that meant Daniel believed that whatsoever he did, he was to do it as unto the Lord. You know the kind of workers that God's little children ought to be? They ought to be working as if they're working, answering to the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we get to following the boss and what the boss says. And when the boss is looking, we're working hard. When the boss stops looking, we stop working hard. And that's the way the world works. That's the way the world operates. Sometimes you and I are behaving when others are looking at us, and then when they're not looking at us, we might not behave. Let us remember that the one we're truly answerable to, and I'm talking more to me tonight than to you, the one we're truly answerable to is the God of heaven, who is with us every hour, every moment, all the time. And when we're doing the things the right way, we're doing it because we want to be faithful to him. We're operating in faith and love towards him, which means when the boss isn't looking, you'll do just as hard as when the boss is looking. When so-and-so is here or not here, you'll be just as where you ought to be. And when God's little children operate that way, the Lord blesses them and their lives with peace and rest and prosperity. And it may mean you end up in a den of lions. And it may, you know, somebody said, well, that means you're just going to have it easy. Listen, you may be in the midst of persecution. It may mean that your very life is required of you. But I'm telling you, blessed are you if you suffer for his name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. What did he say in Matthew 5? He said, for great is your reward in heaven. What does that mean? That means there awaits for us as God's little children of heaven. A heaven that's bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all will receive that, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for each and every one of his children. He says, for as much as he was faithful, and neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, the only way we're going to trick Daniel up is get the law of the land to be conflicting with the law of God, because they knew what Daniel would do. If it came down to he follows the law of the land or the law of God, and there wasn't, they understood, listen, Daniel, he's going to do what the king would have him to do, and the only way we're going to catch him, the only way we're going to mess him up is if we get a law passed that is contrary to the law of God, because at that point, Daniel is going to follow the law of God rather than the law of the land, and we'll have him. That's the way in ideas of men, the way men work. Would it be said about us as old Baptists and each of us as God's little children following the Lord that when it came down to the question, where are we going to stand, that we'll stand above everything else without compromise where the Lord would have us to stand? And isn't that a testimony that really is a wonderful thing? When you know someone consistently has done that and you say, well, that brother, that little sister is going to be faithful and they're going to stand. They're going to stand. Now, did Daniel do this all the time, or did any man ever do this all the time? I don't believe there's been any man. If the Bible says, but for a piece of bread, they will transgress. What I'm saying to you, though, as much as we can, you and I should, what the scripture says is to let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works. And in doing that, we what? We glorify our Father, which is in heaven. When are God's little children the light of the world? When are God's little children the salt of the earth? When they walk faithfully to the Lord and do what the Lord would have them to do as he leads them and directs them. And that's what Daniel did. What a benefit and a blessing he was to those around him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now this sounds like they're trying to build him up and puff him up, but this is more of a greeting that said, may it be well with you. May you have good health and good prosperity. We see even Daniel saying that to him in another place. It was a greeting that they gave. And then it says, and all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors, this is their words to the king, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. In other words, king, we all got together and we've decided this is a law we need. This is a law that we want you, we've written it, we need your signature on this. Now, was that the truth when they came and said that to the king? Well, there may have been a whole bunch of them that came, but it wasn't all of them. Because Daniel wasn't brought into the picture. Daniel wasn't asked about this. Daniel knew about it, but Daniel never agreed to this. It says all the presidents of the kingdom, there were three of them, right? Wasn't Daniel one of them? But no, they came and said all of the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. They said, well, we know what's going to happen. If we can get this passed, we know what Daniel's going to do. You know how they knew what Daniel was going to do? Because Daniel had done it that day, and Daniel had done it the day before, and Daniel had done it the day before that, and Daniel had done it the day before that, and he didn't do it to be seen of men, but men had seen him. And they knew that what Daniel was going to do is the same thing that he'd done every day. He was, as sure as he was Daniel, going to get up. And as he had done that under Nebuchadnezzar, as he had done that under Belshazzar, as he is doing it now under Darius, he's going to pray three times. And he isn't going to pray to the king. He isn't going to pray to some false god. He's going to pray to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's going to pray to the God, as he's called here, the God of Daniel. And he knew he was the only God, the true God, the one who had kept him, the one who had blessed him, the one who had given him everything that he had in his life. And he was going to pray to him no matter what the decree said. He was going to do that. And they knew enough, they didn't necessarily appreciate it, but they knew what he would do. They knew he was going to do it. There may be some people that don't appreciate what you do, but they know what you're going to do. It may be where you stand up and say things that they don't want to have that conversation, because they know if they ask you this question, they're not going to, you know, have you ever had somebody you had to ask a question you wasn't going to like the answer because you knew what their answer was going to be? And there are some people you know you ask the question and you can kind of work them and maybe get them to agree with you. But there are other people that you know where they're standing, and they're consistently standing there, and you know you're going to get that answer. Mamas are like that. Good mamas are like that. And they're not going to just tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear, and they're going to say it hopefully in love, but they're going to say it. And I'm telling you, Daniel was one. Remember, Daniel was the one when he stood there with the king, and the king said, I'm going to give you all these things if you'll tell me this. He said, I don't want anything you've got. You know why? Because he was about to tell him that your kingdom was going to be taken from you and given to another, because you have messed up, king. And he had told him that faithfully. And that king, somebody would say, but that king had the authority to take his life. That wasn't new to Daniel. Brethren, you and I don't know what's coming. We, like one of the brethren said yesterday, we don't know what's on the other side of that door. When we walk through it, we don't know what's on the other side. We don't know what a day is going to bring. But you do know the Lord is your shepherd. And you do know that He will take care of you. And you do know, and I know, we need to know, that He is the one I'm to listen to and to follow. And He will take care of me, and I can leave my situation in His hands. Now, sometimes that's easy to do, but sometimes that gets difficult to do, and it's easy for us to compromise. Here was this king, and he said, here they come with this decree. Now, what did that do for the king? Well, that made him feel like, boy, I'm going to be somebody. No, I'm going to be in charge, really in charge. Nobody can even ask anything of a god. I'm a god. Nobody can even ask anything except for me. They must really need me. They must, in other words, they must think so much of me that I'm the only one who can supply what they need. You know, when we get to feeling so important about ourselves, he who exalts himself shall be what? Shall be abased. And he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Notice it didn't say he who exalts himself shall be humbled. It says he who exalts himself shall be abased. And Nebuchadnezzar, we read about this earlier. The Lord has a way. I remember an old Louisiana preacher telling me one time when I was a young man visiting down in that part of the country. He said, preacher, you preach on. He said, but don't let your head get too big, because the day your head gets big, the Lord's the best head popper I know. And He will pop your head. And I learned along the way a lot of what He's talking about. And I'll tell you what, the Lord, when we get to thinking we've got it all and we can handle it all, He sure knows how to wake us up, doesn't He? To see that without him, we can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things that He'd have me to do. Through Christ, which strengthens me. And listen, everything Daniel did, I believe he did it through Christ, don't you? Somebody said Christ hadn't gone to the cross. No, no, He hadn't gone to the cross, but He was going to the cross. And the work at Calvary didn't just stop at Calvary. It didn't just go forward to the future. The work of Calvary went all the way to the past. Every prayer that's ever been heard in heaven is heard through the name that Brother Terry prayed in tonight. And that's the name of Jesus. There's no other way to be heard in heaven but through the intercession made by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Every bit of the forgiveness that was given. All of the old law service did what? It pointed to Christ. It pointed to what He would do at Calvary. When we're preaching from the Old Testament, we're talking about those Old Testament saints. But listen, Daniel would have been nothing without Jesus. If it hadn't been for the work of Almighty God in his life. And listen, I believe whether it was an angel sent from the Lord or whether it was the Lord making Himself manifest as He did in the fiery furnace, when those lions and those, when He was thrown in that den of lions, the angel of the Lord came and stopped the mouths of the lions. I know that there was one in the midst of the fire furnace that looked like this one. The Nebuchadnezzar, I see four men, and one of them looks like the Son of God. That was where the Messiah had appeared and had manifest Himself in a form that they could see as an angel. He may have been the one here with Daniel. I'm ahead of myself, but we'll get there if the Lord bless us. Read this. If not, you can read it. He says, He established he said, here's the statute. He said, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, they said, establish the decree. See, without the king's signature, the decree wouldn't have been established. They had to convince him to sign it. And here's the silly law. You know what men do? They pass silly laws. Men pass silly laws. And one of the silliest laws that a man could pass is that once this law is passed, you can't change it. You know, the only kind of laws that should be that way are the ones that God has made. Those are the ones that will not be changed. What God has done, let not man put asunder. Those whom God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What God has done, when God works, what God does should not be changed. But I'm telling you, men's laws are going to need to be changed. You know why? Because men being imperfect pass imperfect laws, and you need to have avenues. You need to have, the men cannot see the future, and what may have been fine in one generation may need changing. I'm telling you though, with God's word, it never will need changing. That's why we don't need an update. That's why we don't need a new book. That's why we don't need anything new about it. That's why I love the old name Primitive Baptist. I like the old time religion. I like that. And I'm not just talking about 100 years, 200, 300 years old. I'm talking about the original, that which came down from God's word. And we should try as much as we can to follow what's laid down here, because it doesn't need to be changed. If we change God's word or try to change it, well, let God be true and every man a liar, it'll be to our own detriment. But man's laws many times need to be changed. Here was the law. Once they made it, signed it, the king signed it. It says, now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. In other words, and when King Darius signed the writing, and wherefore King Darius, verse 9, signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did Daniel do? Did he go form a protest? Did Daniel go get a crowd up and say, okay, we're going to protest this? No. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he could have easily gone over and shut the windows, but Daniel didn't do that. You know why he didn't do that? Because the day before, Daniel didn't do that. And the day before that, and he was told to pray towards Jerusalem. I believe we see a picture in this of what prayer was supposed to be. It was in accord with the word of God. And there is, and in this picture we see there is absolutely no other name other than the name of Jesus in which we can pray. Listen, what name must we be saved? There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. And everything in Jerusalem and everything under the in the temple and everything in the tabernacle pointed to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Even that which was written in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. Who did he kneel to? The God of heaven. The one who had kept him. The one who was his Lord. And he kneeled upon his knees. How many times? Three times a day. And prayed. And gave thanks before his God. You know why he did that? It says, as he did aforetime. Get that. It says something new. Daniel didn't say, okay, I'll show them. He didn't do it with an attitude of I'll show them. He didn't do it to be seen of men. We're warned in the scriptures about praying just to be seen of men. Pharisees do that. But I'm telling you, it does us good to sit at a Cracker Barrel and join together in prayer and pray before men. Not in order that they might see us, but because that's what we ought to do. And that's what we did at home. That's what we do when we come to our meals. It ought to be our practice of what we do. Not in order to tell somebody that's what we do, but we need it, don't we? I need Him to bless the food on our table. I need to thank Him. I need to thank Him not only privately, but publicly, and not be ashamed to name the name of Jesus. Don't ever be ashamed. And I won't tell you for a minute that there aren't sometimes I wonder about what others are thinking about me. I shouldn't be concerned about that one way or the other. It ought to be just like they were not there. When he said to pray, we're to enter into our what? Our closets. That's to keep us separate with you and you and me. You and the Lord. That's what that's about. Enter into our closets. It's to allow us to keep the world out and be focused on the Lord. And brethren, if we're like that in our public prayers and in our private prayers, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's a prayer of faith, availeth much. And Daniel prayed. And he gave thanks. He gave thanks because God's deserving of thanks. Somebody said, why do you pray? Just to thank Him. If you didn't have, I got things I asked for, but I'll tell you, the main thing to pray for is to thank Him. For all, how much has He done for us? Let us thank Him. We come here tonight to thank Him. We sing praises to thank Him. We preach to thank Him. We pray to thank Him. And to thanks before His God. And He did it just like He did aforetime. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. You know, they said, well, you know what Daniel's going to be doing. You know why? Because that's what Daniel does. And so we're going to find Daniel praying. And once we find him, we got him. And they thought they had him. Let us be careful when we try to make plans to get or hurt one of God's little children. You see, the plans they had made turned out to be the very things that got them, didn't it? Those very lions that they had planned on eating, Daniel ended up eating not only them, but their family, but their wives and their children. It had an effect on their whole entire family. Listen, when we're talking about serious matters, when we're talking about serving the Lord, we're talking about answering to the God of heaven who created the heavens and the earth. He's a God of mercy and a God of, but He's also a God of justice. And He's a loving God, but He's also a God who will chasten His children, sometimes grievously chasten them. Never outside of love, but He sure will chasten us. And when we stand out, what does the scripture say about offending one of God's children? It'd be better for a millstone to be cast about our neck and cast over in the sea and drowned than for one of us to offend one of God's little children. That's why it's important when we're talking to one another that we're doing it in as much of way to of love and we ought to look over one another for good rather than looking over one another to try to find some fault or some blemish. Brethren, the Lord blesses us when we walk and respond in the way that He would have us to walk. It said, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Boy, time is moving. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that ask a petition of any man or any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Notice they didn't come saying Daniel's done this. They came and got him. They got him to lock in on what he had said. He said, look, this is what you said, didn't you? And they said, yes. He said, yes. And you signed it, didn't you? And he said, yes. And they said, well, we got to tell you this, king. This Daniel, they despise Daniel. This Daniel you think so much of, that captive of Judah that's among us, that man has disrespected you and disrespected, he's not regarded thee, he's not regarded the decree, and here he is offering petition. Didn't even say who he was praying to. Listen, Daniel wasn't just praying to anybody. He was praying to the God of heaven. I want to get finished this so bad. I hope y'all just hang with me just a little bit. It says, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, that Daniel, notice that word, that Daniel, this Daniel, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he's not even one of us, king, regarded not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. You see, he got caught. I got lifted up in pride. Have you ever been lifted up in pride and done something ignorant, something silly, something foolish? Here, this king had done that, and he said, oh, I got to fix this. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Seems like he had a love for Daniel. He didn't want this to happen to Daniel. It was this Daniel. It was the one he loved that had been so faithful, no doubt, to him. And he said he set his heart on him to deliver him. And he labored till the sun, going down of the sun to deliver him. But you see, all he wanted to do, he wasn't able to do it. But I'm telling you, that was one who was able to deliver Daniel. King couldn't do it. Men couldn't do it. But the King of Kings did it. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Here they come from puffing him up. Now they're saying, Look, we got you, buddy. You passed the law. You've signed it. We're going to hold you to it, no matter what you think about it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, I love this. He said, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Sounds like the king saw some things and knew some things. Now how would he know that? What scientific evidence would you have that when you threw a man into a den of lions, now it wasn't just a lion's den, it was a den of lions. There were lions in there, there were hungry lions in there, they kept them there for that very purpose in order to do exactly what they were going to do. And when they cast them in there, how in this world was it going to be? I'm telling you, this king saw some things. He said, Thy God whom thou servest continually. He didn't say my God, but he did say, Daniel, your God. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. You're talking about a long night. He didn't eat. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. He didn't get entertained. And his sleep went from him. You have one of those nights where you've done the wrong thing, you can't sleep. Listen, that's where he was. He's sitting there. Though he had said that thy God will deliver thee, he felt the weight of what was about to take place with Daniel. I heard an old preacher one time say that he believed Daniel just took one of those lions and laid up on it and put his head up there, made a pillow for him and just covered up with the other one. The Bible doesn't say all that, but I know that he could have. You know, I'm telling you, there wasn't a lion that could have laid any hand on. When Daniel was thrown into the pit, the fall didn't hurt him. He didn't have a scratch on him. He didn't have a mark on him. There was not one scratch. Listen, we got a little cat at the house right now. When I'm rubbing his head or something like that, he'll every once in a while just reach over and like that. And then there you got a little scratch, just a cat scratch. And when he hisses at me, I'm scared. I can't imagine what would happen if I was in facing a lion. Even if he was muzzled and his mouth was shut. You know, a lion could take you without biting you. He could just hit you with one paw and rip you open. He could have destroyed Daniel. If these weren't just sick animals, these were healthy lions that were there to destroy Daniel. But Daniel was willing. Willing to stand faithful to his God, knowing that I'm in the hands of Almighty God who controls even the lions. And it says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. He didn't sleep all night. I'm going to see about what's going on. And when he came to the den, there's a stone in the way. He cried with a lamentable voice, with weeping in his voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. He knew who Daniel was. Listen, Daniel wasn't all that. What was the best thing about Daniel? He was the servant of the living God. You know the best thing about you and I? The only thing that makes us worth anything, what makes us the light of the world, what makes us the salt of the earth, is that you are a chosen servant of the living God. He's called you to walk different, act different, talk different, and behave differently in this world. And when you do that, you're no less important than a Daniel. And when we fail to do that, well, we walk into contrary to what the Lord would have us to do. And he cried with that lamentable voice. He said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And I'm sure you're talking about a joyful sound. Listen, there's some joyful sounds made when you hear the gospel declared. I believe this was a joyful sound in the ears of that old king when he heard the voice of Daniel say, O king, live forever. My God. Who? My God. Daniel had a God. You and I have a God. He said, My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel didn't say, I'm good, and that's what I got it for. Daniel is saying, in the charge that was against me here, I was not at fault. I was doing what God would have me to do when I broke this law. This law was an ungodly law that should never have been passed and never been made. And I'm going to be faithful to my God, and I had a just cause. And because of that, God held up Daniel in that cause. And when you and I do what's right before God, believe me, He will sustain us. He will make a way. And then the king, exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. He was obviously down in the den. Sometimes I used to picture it as a den setting off to the side, and you put him in. But if he came out of it, he had to be put over in it. And the stone was put there. And you get some pictures here. It says, and he brought him up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. And get this, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. And here's why. Because he had believed in his God. Brethren, this ought to be of great encouragement to you and I tonight. We're in a world that's so full of trouble, so full of questions, so full of those who would have us compromised, so full of us, those who would say what you believe in is old-fashioned. Listen, there were those who thought what Daniel believed was silliness and foolishness. And there were those here who thought they had him. And the very thing they thought they had him, they ended up in. How many times have you seen that throughout the scripture and in our lives? And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. The exact same lions that the Lord had shut the mouths of rent these others who were responsible for Daniel being in there in the first place. And then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. I love the book of Daniel because you see these kings that didn't seem to know the Lord and that didn't have any understanding have to come and acknowledge. Now, I believe it was a heartfelt acknowledgement here, but whatever it was, I'm telling you, one day every tongue, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's every mocker that's ever been on this planet. Some will do it in a worshipful way. Others will do it in the sense of saying, He is greater than I am. As the devils will do it, not in order to worship Him and praise Him, but they have to submit that His authority is greater and His power is greater than ours. That's the Lord we serve. The king Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every kingdom of my kingdom, every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For He is the living God. Who's the God of Daniel? He's the living God. I believe the God of Daniel, just like we sing, the God of yesterday is the God of, He's just the same today. He's our God. The God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. He hasn't changed. He changes not. And His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Men's kingdoms come and go, don't they? The United States may come and go. Sometimes I wonder if it is just about gone. I will know, listen, little child of God, I pray that the Lord will keep America. I pray for our land and nation. But I know when this country, if and when it does fall, I know that the Lord's kingdom will not fail and not fall, and our King is still on His throne, and He's worthy to be trusted and depended upon, and He's the one who's truly keeping us. May we keep our eye and our faith and trust in Him. His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth, get this, verse 27, He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He's still doing that, isn't He? Isn't He? Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And how many more? I can mention a bunch of them. I could go right down the rows tonight and mention again and again. You think about how has He delivered you. You may never have been in a lion's den, but you've been in some trouble. And He's delivered you. He's been there. Has He not been faithful? And will He not remain just as faithful? He will. And He delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, as he trusted in the Lord and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Y'all been very attentive tonight. I'm sorry I've been so lengthy. I do thank the Lord for what He's given us. I pray that He'll just bless us to be faithful, committed, as Daniel. to trusting in Him and leaning upon Him and leaving the outcome in the hands of the Lord. I want to read one verse, if you'll bear with me, just one verse. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. It says this, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. It may come that we have to suffer according to the will of God. Let them commit the keeping of their lives, of their souls, of their lives to Him in well-doing. That means do what He has for us to do. Be faithful to Him. As unto a what? A faithful Creator. That's who we're trusting in tonight. He's a faithful Creator. Appreciate you. Kind attention. You have a mind to pray. Remember me. God bless you. I love you, my brother. God bless you.